So how much time do we spend in our spiritual pursuit every week or every day? So, well, you know, I come to the Gita class once a week. Okay, that's 1 hour. And then maybe I read what we have studied in the Gita class. Maybe. Okay, so we give you another half an hour. So 1.5 hour. Oh, then I get up in the morning. I do some prayer, some meditation. Okay, half an hour more. At night, sometimes I read Gita. Okay, so half an hour more. So 1 hour every day, morning and evening. That's 7 hours a week. And then 1.5 hour for the Gita class. So that's 8.5 hours a week. So which is 35 hours a month. And that is assuming I do it every day. So we give you 8.5 hours a month you're spending in spiritual pursuits. Sorry, 8.5 hours a week, so 35 hours a month I'm spending in my spiritual pursuit. Now, how many hours are in a month? 24 times 30, 720 hours. So out of 720 hours in the month, at the most, we are spending 35 hours, which that is if you're doing it every day, which is only 1/20th of the time. So is that a fair distribution? You say you want to progress spiritually, we want to meet God, we want to know God, we want to be more evolved, then we have to spend more time. Every day we have to make that our main goal in life, our main pursuit, especially as we are getting older and the children need less of our time, or a lot of us are retired and children have moved away, then that should become my whole time pursuit. Every day, my main goal should be as much possible as time to spend in spirituality. At least 2-3 hours every evening, maybe an hour or two in reading, at least an hour in the morning, meditation, prayer. So gradually, and then maybe doing some service. If I have spare time, let me volunteer. So where I work for Him, work for God, whatever organization, it doesn't matter. But I go without I and my, without doership. So that has to become my goal. And then alone, we will progress spiritually. Because compared to that 1 hour, all the other hours we are spending in either sleeping or reading or surfing the net or working or eating or cooking or cleaning, all those things are necessary, but we have to shift the scale because the scale is too heavily shifted towards materialism and the spiritual side is very weak, you know, like this. So it's way up there, so we need to balance. So that's what the Bhagavad Gita tells us, and that's what today's message of the three verses will be, exactly that, the balance between secular and spiritual. So today there will be the last three verses of the 18th chapter, and we'll end the Bhagavad Gita today, and then from next week we'll start again the first chapter again. So Bhagavad Gita won't end, we'll start with the introduction and then the first chapter. So as we have studied, after having heard the entire Bhagavad Gita, Sanjay, who was sitting in the palace of Dhritarashtra, the king, the blind king, but Sanjay had this divine vision, this Divya Drishti, where he could see what is happening in the battlefield several miles away. I think they said about 14 or 20 miles away. He could not only see what was happening, but he could go into the hearts of people and know what they are thinking, their emotions, their ideas. And so having heard the entire Bhagavad Gita from the Lord Himself teaching Arjuna, as we see in the picture, Sanjay gives us his final impressions of what he had heard. And last week he said, I heard this beautiful dialogue between Arjuna and Krishna, and it made me so wonderstruck. Wow, and all my hair is standing on end. And why? How did I was able to hear it? Because of Vyasa. Vyasa, the sage Vyasa, who had compiled all the Vedas, also wrote Mahabharata, had given this drishti to Sanjay. Actually, he wanted to give to the blind king, Dhritarashtra, but he didn't want to see because he knew that several of my sons, he had 100 sons, and they will perish in this war. He didn't want to see that. So he gave it to Sanjay, his minister. We can just close the door, please, so that the sound doesn't go to the next class. So he gave it to Sanjay. He said, let him see and he can tell me. And so Sanjay is relating this to Dhritarashtra. And he says, I saw this beautiful message of the Bhagavad Gita being given by the Lord himself, speaking. So I am so blessed. And so today he continues his impressions and we'll end today. So verse number 76. Rajan samsmritya samsmritya.
Rajan samsmritya samsmritya.
Samvadamimam adbhutam.
Samvadamimam adbhutam.
Keshavarjunayoh punyam.
Keshavarjunayoh punyam.
Rishyami cha muhur muhuhu. So he's telling it to Rajan, to the king, or Rajan, King Dhritarashtra. Samsmritya, samsmritya, remembering again and again. What am I remembering? Samvadam, this dialogue. Imam adbhutam. Adbhutam means wonderful, wondrous, as we had said last time. Wondrous means, when your mind and intellect become still. And you can't speak another word, when you're seeing something beautiful. I remember when we were in Alaska. And you take a seaplane and it flies over the polar ice cap. And for hundreds of miles, all you see is snow. Wow, it's so beautiful. So this is called Adbhutam. So he says, I have heard this dialogue which has stilled my mind and intellect. I can't even talk. I can't think. That's how wonderful it was. And who was the dialogue between? Keshava Arjuna. So Keshava, the Lord Krishna. Keshava means because he had this long curly hair, black hair. So it's called Keshava. And Arjuna, the Punyam. And it is a very pure, very holy dialogue I heard. And what happens to me? Rishyami cha muhur muhuhu. Muhur muhuhu. Again and again I become joyful. I become happy. I become thrilled. So here we are getting a very, very beautiful message from Sanjay. And what does it say? Again and again. Muhur muhuhu. Samsmritya samsmritya. So Gita is not to be read. Gita is to be studied. There is a difference between reading and studying. We read a newspaper, but we study the Bhagavad Gita. And not only one time, again and again and again. Because this knowledge is so subtle that you need a very subtle intellect. In Sanskrit, the word is tanu manasaha. Tanu manasaha means very subtle intellect. See, we have a gross intellect to see a tree, to study mathematics, to study economics, physics. We use our gross intellect. And so you say, well, these are subtle subjects. That's true. But to study these, whether it's mathematics, physics, chemistry, economics, we need a gross intellect. And to know about the world, to know about people. But to study this knowledge, we need tanu manasa, we need a very subtle intellect. And so repeated study, repeated contemplation, repeated meditation, repeated application of this, you develop the intellect which is very subtle, which is not gross, but which can, subtle means that which can pick up very small things. Like they say, an elephant, his trunk is both gross and subtle. He can pick up a tree trunk and break it. At the same time, he can pick up a needle. So that's how our intellect should be. We should be able to study gross things in the world, but when I need to study the subtle truths of the Bhagavad Gita, that same intellect I should be able to develop. And it has to be studied again and again. So that's why when we finish, we are planning to start again. I remember Swami Ishwaranandaji, when he finished the Bhagavad Gita here, he had done it over, several visits. And he said, this is the seventh time I am teaching the entire Bhagavad Gita. He, of course, had studied also under his teacher, Guru. Swami Chidanandaji, but he said, I am teaching for the seventh time. And he said, each time I teach, I get more and more knowledge out of it, more and more wisdom, because this spiritual knowledge does not come just like that. Repeated study is required. I myself have been attending classes, studying. We can ask Naina. Last 20 years, 30 years, we have been studying, and still every time you read something, every time you hear Swamiji speaking, you get more. So this has to be done again and again. So it's not, okay, 18 chapter ho gaya, khatam, you know, let's end it. No, I have to myself study. Self-study, that's why they call it swadhyaya. Self-study has to be done every day. And that's why, he says it is muhur muhuhu, again and again, Sanjay says. It's like music. You know, music, you cannot just say, oh, I studied one time. Again and again, we have to practice. As you practice, as you study, your listening becomes better, your hearing becomes more subtle. You can pick up faint notes and, you know, changes in the tala. Like I, you know, for me, it all sounds the same. But a true music lover can figure out, okay, this is the tala he's playing, this raga, this. Why? Because of repeated listening. So somebody, Pandit Bhimsen Joshi was one time singing, and somebody went and told him, Panditji, I had heard you a few years ago, but today you sang beautifully. So Panditji says, I have been singing the same all these years. Your hearing has improved because you have been listening. So we think that the teacher is now teaching much better. Teacher has always been teaching better. But as our understanding improves, we pick up more and more of that. That's what Sanjay tells us. Again and again, one should study. And what is the message of the Bhagavad Gita? So in Sanskrit, there is a beautiful word called tiryak. Tiryak means horizontal. So animals are called tiryak. So why are they called horizontal? Tiryak because their head, their belly, and their procreative organs are in the same line. If you see a cat or you see a lion or a dog, the head, the stomach, and the legs are in the same straight line. And man's purpose is different because man, the head is higher than the stomach and then the procreative organs. So what does this represent? So in Sanskrit, these words are beautiful. You know, the words have so much meaning. Like for trees, I was hearing it says trees called padapa. Padapa means, pa means drink, pada means feet. So the tree that drinks with the feet, because how the tree gets is. So the words itself convey so much meaning. So here, tiryak is horizontal, means for an animal, whether thinking, eating, and mating all have the same importance, the same value. But in human life, if the head is higher, then means I should have my main purpose in life is head. Learning not only worldly, but as we know, spiritually, then should be the stomach. Stomach means taking care of my daily needs, not only food, but all the things I acquire, my house, my car, everything is related to maintenance of the body. And then the third importance should be given to the procreative organs. But we find that in this modern world, this has become totally twisted. You know, a lot of importance is given to maintenance, to the stomach, food, clothing, acquiring things. Procreation, a lot of think time, and the head, you know, is given the less importance. So that's why Gita tells us that pay more attention to your knowledge, pursuing knowledge, especially spiritual growth. So that should be our main purpose. And what are the choices? See, Gita gives us very clear choices. What I should choose and what I should avoid. Swamiji was, Ishwarananji was telling an example. He says this mother brought her daughter to meet Swamiji, and Swamiji said, how are you doing? She had gone to college, had been about less than a year she had gone to college, and she had gone through Bal Vihar and all. Straight A student, was doing very well. And then she's mother says, Swamiji, she's not doing well in school, college. She had all straight A's in high school, but now she's getting B's and C's and even some D's. I'm so worried. because she wants to go into medicine, and how will she get admission if she has? So Swamiji asks her, he says, what's the reason? Swamiji, I don't know, I am putting a lot of time. So he says, well, what are you studying? What are the subjects you have taken? She says, well, I have taken science and biology, you know, the pre-medical, but I have also taken music, I have taken video games. You know, they have electives. So Swamiji says, so what do you do with them? She says, well, you know, I like to play video games, so here I can play and I can study, I can get good grades. And then in music, I can listen to all different kinds of music. So that's what Swamiji says. He says, you're spending more time in video games and in music as opposed to your primary, your main, which should be medicine. So you need to make right choices. And we have right choices all the time. Like if you put on TV, how many channels? I can't even count. 140 channels or something. That's why they say to watch TV, you should be like Bhagwan. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapath. Means God has 1,000 heads, 1,000 eyes, 1,000. So I need 1,000 eyes to watch all these channels. You know, that's the Purush Suktam starts with that. So the point is that you have to choose, okay, out of 140 channels, which are the channels that I need to watch? Similarly, in news, you know, when you have the newspaper, there is so much material. Nowadays, of course, newspapers are dead. But even on internet, or when you're looking at, you know, what news I should watch, what channels I should surf, what websites I should go for. So the choices we have to make, and that's what the Bhagavad Gita gives us, is very clear choice. And what I should choose and what I should not choose. And that's what Sanjay is telling us. And also the Bhagavad Gita is interesting because any problem you have anywhere in life, anything, the answer is there in the Gita. Whether you have children problem, spouse problem, work problem, financial problems, anything, any kind of stress, there is a verse that will apply to that in the Bhagavad Gita. Even though this was given several thousand years ago, it is a very, very valid source of knowledge, source of information. And definitely Bhagavan has given a one verse that will pertain to your problem. It doesn't matter what the problem is. Then the other point we make is that the study should be deep. See, it should be study, as we said. Gita should not be read. Gita should be studied, and studied deeply. You should clearly know the meaning of the verses. Not only the clear meaning, but there is an implied meaning. In spirituality, they always have the clear meaning, what you can clearly know, and that is an implied meaning. And so the implied meaning of the verses, one should know. What is Bhagavan truly telling me? That's why having a commentary like Gurudev's commentary that we all have. So that should be read. And his commentary also is sometimes very difficult to understand because the language he uses is so profound that sometimes you have to read two or three times just to understand the verse. So repeated study, repeated understanding, and going in deep. Because unless you study in deep, it is not useful. It's like you ask somebody, how was your sleep last night? He said, I couldn't get a deep sleep. Why? I kept waking up. There was some noise. Or I was stressed. Oh, but he said, another person, I slept so deeply. I don't even know. I slept at 10 o'clock and at 6 o'clock when I woke up, I didn't even know how 8 hours passed. Or those of us who meditate, you know, some days your meditation is so nice, you're able to go deep within and, you know, feel that inner silence. And some days your mind is racing and running and you're just trying to chase it. So similarly, the depth of knowledge is very important, and there should be change in my life. Gita should not only be read and understood, but I should change my life. There should be a substantial change, as we see in Arjuna, you know, the first two. In the first chapter, he's so depressed, doesn't know what to do. And by the 18th chapter, he says, Karishye vachanam tava, nashto mohar smritir labdhva, tvat prasadat achyuta. He says, my moha is gone, I have got my memory back, and Karishye, I'll do whatever you tell me. So there has to be a change in our life. Talking about change, there is a story I told on Thursday. So those of you who were there, I apologize. But so there was this monk, this sadhu who was living in this ashram, and people used to bring food for him every day. So one day lunchtime it happened, they had nobody signed up for the bhiksha. So monk was, he said, okay, I have to eat. So he had $20 in his drawer. So he goes to the pizza parlor across the street. And the pizza man also knew that this monk is there. So he knew that he will eat vegetarian. So he said, come, sir, what can I get you? So he said, how much is the pizza? He says, well, cheese pizza is $9.99. One topping is $11.99. Two toppings, $12.99. But if you get all vegetables, it is $14.99. So monk in his philosophical recess says, I need all in one, you know, unity of life. I need all in one. So he prepared the vegetables, gave it to him. It was $14.99. So the monk gave the $20 and he was waiting. And in the meantime, that pizza man, worker, he started serving other customers, taking change and making. So the monk waited for a while and he said, what about the change? So the man says, change comes from within. He was a greater philosopher. our change has to come from within. Otherwise, study of the Bhagavad Gita is not useful. So that's what Sanjay says. Rajan, samsmrityas, listening and thinking again and again, I am so thrilled, I'm so happy that I could listen to this dialogue between Krishna and Arjun. Any questions? Any comments? Yes.
About choices?
Yes.
You were talking about the student who wanted to be a doctor and she wasn't doing very well in college and she liked music and video games. We talked last week about wrong decisions and mind over intellect. So maybe if her interest.
Right.
Could
be, yes.
She could be. And just because everyone expects her to
right.
Do what, you know.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a belief system. Everybody thinks like if you are a doctor, engineer,
right,
that's
right.
The best choice, yeah. And
absolutely, yeah, but then she should make her choice clear. Then she should decide, okay, this is because there's no point getting B's and C's and D's because then she's not going to get anywhere. So that, yeah, your point is absolutely right. Maybe she's in the wrong field. Yeah, that's true. That makes sense. And that's a good point. I didn't think about it. Now, because one of my friend, he's a very famous pulmonologist, very in Florida. His son is an actor. He went to acting school. He was admitted to the New York Acting Academy, which is the best in the country. And he said, yeah, if he wants to do it, let him, you know. So whether he makes a success or a failure, the choice is his. It's
so
because he's not
here. Neurosurgeon who practiced for so many years, but his passion was sitar. He left everything, started doing
sitar
after years.
Right, right. That's true. You have to enjoy what you're doing, right?
And also some time ago, a few months ago, you mentioned, we always see our child in our eyes. Whatever we wanted to achieve, which
right.
We didn't do, we expect the children to do it for us. And we never ever think what that child wants to do.
Absolutely.
So this is...
Right. That's true. Yeah, you wanted to.
I was just going to say, many, many, many years ago, this just stands out in my mind. I was reading an article in the newspaper, and it was about a man who was an attorney, and he got cancer or something like that. And he thought, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to do what I love doing. And he learned how to play the violin and moved to Europe. And his father, he came from a family of lawyers. And he became a musician, learned the violin, and the cancer went away. And I just remember that.
Right.
Wow.
That's good. Thank you.